Good morning, everyone. We look a little light out there today. Everybody must have found out I'm speaking. But can you believe this year's over already? Brother T. Yeah, it's hard for me to believe. But when we look to this next year, 2024, if we would look at the news, we see the threat of economic failure. We see the possibilities of Third World War, and even the possibilities of a civil war. And one thing I know for sure, that we're going to see the increase in wickedness, But one other thing I know for sure, we're going to see an increase in the goodness of God. It says in the last days, he's going to pour his spirit out on all men, all women. So as I thought about this year coming up, that I thought, boy, what are we going to do? And God says he's going to draw the wicked to him. He's going to draw those atheists to him. Our unsaved loved ones that may be mad at God to turn to him. And I thought, of course, God knows I always ask dumb questions. And I said, God, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm going to show the people that don't deserve my goodness, my goodness. And I thought, boy. And there again, another dumb question. How are you going to do that? By showing him love, by showing him his ways. That he's going to draw all those people to him that don't know him. And I thought, boy, that's pretty amazing. And I think I found it in Scripture where I can kind of prove this. And I'm going to start out in Romans chapter 2. In verse 4, it says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, patience, not really realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead to repentance? He's going to be so good to them, they'll know it's God. I have this wrote down from the New Living Translation that says it a little better. It says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, patient, tolerant God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? And I thought, what about me? I've served you. I've been with you. Almost like a jealous kid. But then he said, hold up and listen to all Christians. When I turn to Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14, I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We are going to see in our lifetime, in this world, the goodness of God. Some of you, like me, have sometimes sit around and waited for God to show His kindness. But in Psalms 38:4, it says, "Come, taste and see that the Lord is good." So while you've been sitting around, and I've been sitting around waiting for God, He's waiting on us. Come and see, taste. The Lord is good. Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plans for you," the Lord says, "to prosper you, for good for you." That's sometimes, sometimes hard to comprehend. But I think part of it was I know that God's always been good in my life. But maybe there was times I stopped being thankful. And that's where Psalms 23:8 says, "Surely mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life." But in 14, it says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord." You notice he said that twice, wait. Wait for the Lord. But he's always been good to us. I know in my life, I didn't realize it, but even before I was a Christian, God's goodness was following me. And if I hope my wife don't get mad about this, but I want to tell you a little bit about us. She's shaking her head. Been together 40 years. The first few, especially, were pretty rocky ground. And there was more than one time that we found ourselves homeless for one reason or another. There were days when we didn't have anything to eat. No food in the house. And we felt lucky if we'd got something from the pantry and we could add a can of green beans to some ramen noodles. What a feast. I never forget those days. Pretty rough. And then it came to a point in my life where I realized I could make a lot of money selling drugs. And I did. But with that come my craziness. And even come to a point where I became a violent man. Excuse me. Until my wife got tired of it. And she left me. We were divorced. Then a nice judge in Kentucky asked me to stay with him for a little while. But in that time, God was working on me. And from where that judge sat and told me he was going to give me 30 years, I did 3. But even in that time while I was locked up, that I needed, or I wouldn't be here now. Because I should have been, I could have been, and I would have been dead if it wasn't for God's goodness. And He took care of me, even to the point where I depended on Him for everything. Even socks. Yeah. I wasn't going to really say that, but I guess I did. But now I have to tell you the story, and I'll try to make it short. Everyone thinks that when you get locked up, that you're just totally taken care of. And that's not true. And after I was stripped of everything, no money, no family, nothing. And it came down to what I really had, the socks that I went in with, one pair of socks. That's tough. But it wasn't so bad because I could wash them in the sink and let them dry, because if you sent them to the laundry, you wouldn't get them for a week. So it came to a point after they sent me out to work that I couldn't keep up. And I'd been reading in Matthew chapter 6, it's not to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. But I'll never forget that day when I went out and I didn't have any socks. And boots, that's tough. So I thought I had to remind God of what he said, that I didn't have to worry about what I was going to wear or my clothes. I don't have to worry about that. And I went out to I worked at a park, and I had a couple of campgrounds, and we would go and we'd empty the trash cans. And that day, as we was emptying the trash cans, I happened to notice on the top there was a sack. In that sack was three bags of socks, never been opened, a dozen in each sock, in each pack. That's the goodness of God. And I started wearing them in every day until I got them all in. And that not only gave me socks, but it gave me trading where I could get other supplies that I needed. Isn't that amazing? I thought so. So I'll never forget that day when I left and I was standing there waiting for a ride. I had $37.50. That was my last month pay. I had a little sack of clothes, but there was two things that I had that changed my life. This Bible and the goodness of God working in my life. Awesome. My marriage was restored. We got remarried. And I know you're probably questioning my wife's sanity that she would marry me twice. But she did. And then doors started opening, jobs came, money came. And it's been one heck of a ride ever since. But I've stayed faithful to the Word. I'm thankful for His goodness. When's the last time you've claimed the goodness of God over your life? And sometimes we might not see it. You might be losing your job this year. But claim the goodness of God. You might be sitting on the edge of your bed, crying, overwhelmed with depression. Claim the goodness of God. And we need to do that. As a church this coming year, we need to claim the goodness of God. We need to start telling each other, God is good. Until everybody notices around us, hey, there's something going on. Them Nazarenes over there talking about goodness all the time. Light's only noticeable when it's dark. If you would walk into a room that's lighted up, you wouldn't see another light. But when you walk into the darkness with the light shining, Jesus Christ, it's noticeable. Are we going to claim the goodness this year? He's so good to us. Okay, now I'm going to start my sermon. And this was kind of a whole different way of way I would normally get a sermon, and I probably never would have come to this. But at the first of the month, I started praying, Lord, what am I going to speak about? And as I sit down one day, I set my Bible down, and it opened up to a chapter in the Old Testament. Didn't think anything about it. Second time, set my Bible down, opened to the same chapter in the Old Testament. Still praying, God, what do you want me to speak about? Wasn't until the third time that Bible opened to that same chapter that I thought I'd better read it. God knows I'm slow. That's why he gave me 30 chances. So guess what we're going to hear today? 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I know what some of you are thinking. Wasn't that a Star Wars movie? 2 Chronicles? Right? But as I read it, it started consuming me. It started speaking to me. And this chapter in the Old Testament, 500 years before Jesus Christ, has everything that this church needs for 2024. And I thought it was amazing. And I couldn't let it down. So I've probably read it 100 times. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to be going through 1 through 30, but I'm just going to kind of skip over some of them and just rub in all the good stuff. Because there's a lot of good stuff in here to see. So if you have your Bibles with you, Van Club's got them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it says, after it starts out right off the bat, after this, which if you would read chapter 19, King Jehoshaphat, king of Judea, one of the good kings, had just placed judges in all of Judea and Jerusalem. So that's what that after this was. It says, then the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites, all them knights, the Midnites, the Chigorites, all of them, they came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. God had already spared them one time from all these bites as they came out of Egypt. So now here they come after him. And they came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. In verse 2, some people came to tell Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Eden, from the other side of the Dead Sea. and is already at Hazon Tamar. And if that doesn't tell you anything, what they just said, they're 20-something miles away, and they're coming strong. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, as we all should. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I've tried everything. And then they turn to God. And that was a mistake. Where Jehoshaphat immediately turned to him. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judea. And here we go. Here's a good one. In verse 4. The people of Judea came together to seek help from the Lord. And indeed, they came from every town in Judea to seek him. And God's gone. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of the temple of the Lord. And this one I'm going to skip from 5 to 11. But basically what he was telling was that, haven't we been your people, God? We've made temples in your name. We've done this. We've done that. And you have done this. You've protected us. You've been with us. But look at verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? Won't you settle this for us? For we have no power to face the vast army attacking us. We do not know what to do. You ever said that to God? Many times. God, I don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Let's look to God this year. Let's seek and inquire from God what we need to do. 13, I love this. All the men of Judea with their wives, their children, the little ones, stood before the Lord. All of them. They brought their little youngins. Their babies, their family, and they came and stood before the Lord. Do you think God didn't hear them? He did. He said, but our eyes are on you. 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. Jesus showed up 500 years before he came to this earth. Jesus showed up. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And he stood in the assembly. Then he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judea and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Because this vast army for the battle is not yours. Whatever we're going to face in 2024, I don't care if the doctor gives you bad news. I don't care what happens. The battle's not ours. So whose is it? It's God's. says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. But then listen, he gives instructions. Tomorrow, march down against them. He just told them the battle wasn't theirs. But he tells them to go down and march against them. And they will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert Jeril. You will not have to fight this battle. But they have to go down there. They have to do what the Lord asked them to do. Take your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. Okay, I lost my place. Take your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you Judea and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There's times I get discouraged and I want to quit. And I'll be honest, even times with this church, there's times I want to quit. But the battle's not mine. And I have to remind myself of that. And I have to stand firm. I have to wait on the Lord, which requires patience. Something that took me a long time to learn. Go out and face them, and the Lord will be with you. So Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judea and Jerusalem fell down and worship before the Lord. That's a big key there. Big key. But listen to this. In verse 20. Early in the morning they left the desert as they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judea and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets, and you will be successful. And it's still true today. After counseling the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And I thought, boy, wait a minute, Jehoshaphat. They've got a vast army coming against you. You're going to send people out to sing? That's confidence in the Lord. We need that confidence in our life. So they went out ahead of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love and mercy endures forever. And I love that mercy. And there's no way that you can get the goodness of God without mercy. Because when I thought when God told me that he was going to send goodness, the people that don't deserve his goodness, I thought, what about me? None of us can receive the goodness of God without his mercy. And that's why you'll always see goodness and mercy. They go hand in hand. And he told me that I didn't deserve his goodness either. But he still showed it to me. Okay. Here's where it really starts getting crazy. So after they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush. Against the men of Ammon and Moab who were invading Judea. And they were defeated. The Lord set an ambush, and they all got together and killed each other. Till no one was left. All the vast armies that were coming against them, they killed each other. And it must have got to the point where the last one realized that everybody was dead and killed himself, because he says no one survived. That's what we need to do. We got to wait on the Lord. We got to trust in Him. And believe in His goodness. Take it in your faith that God is good and His mercy endures forever. Now check this out in 24. Then the men of Judea came to a place that overlooked the desert and looked towards the vast army. They saw only dead bodies laying on the ground. No one had escaped. He told them they didn't have to fight the battle, but they had to go down against that battle. Do we listen to God? Then the men of Judea came to the place that overlooked the desert towards the vast army and saw dead bodies. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them great amounts of equipment, clothing, and also articles of value. That kind of made me think, who wears the Rolex to a battle? Who carries all their treasures with them into battle? That was God's goodness. Because it was His plan. It was His battle. And it just shows that there's profit in serving the Lord. And I'm not going to stand up here and try to be some prosperity preacher that if you give all your money to the church, God will bless you. If you're faithful. There's prosperity in serving God. I've seen so much of it in my life, even this year. I've been blessed time after time after time. And if somebody says, boy, are you lucky. I'm not lucky. I'm a child of God. And I have His goodness walking with me in my life. And there's profit in that. It's good. That God is good. I'm going to go back to 25 because I lost my place. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder. They found among them great amounts of equipment, clothing, and also articles of value. It kind of sounds like Afghanistan. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Can you imagine that? 3 days just to carry off all the goods that they had. But then on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley where they praised the Lord. And this is why it is called the Valley of Berkhof to this day, this very day, if I said this right. Then I want to skip down in to 30 and kind of finish this off. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. I need that rest in my life. Early in life, I took a detour off the path, and I took the scenic route around the dark side of this world. And as I looked around, I never found anything. Nothing that I haven't found with the Lord. Because I have peace. I have joy. And I have happiness that the world can't explain. And I've been blessed. If you look at my old rusty truck out there, it's my Cadillac. Thank you. If you drive by my house, to you it might look like an old 60s trailer in the middle of nowhere. But it's my Taj Mahal. I couldn't be any happier serving God because I know what's out in the world. And I don't know how many times that I've worked at rich people's houses and they're miserable. And they hate their life. They hate each other. And they're miserable. So it wasn't long that I found you can't find happiness in this world. And if you're looking, let me tell you, you're wasting your time. So what are we going to do this year coming up? We have to band together as a family of God. And I know it's just like with our regular earthly families. We have brothers and sisters we may not necessarily care a lot about. They may be a pain in one way or another. And that's true in the family of God. But we have to love each other. We have to show God's goodness and kindness. And the world will see that. Love. God is love. Are you with me? We have hope, but we also have things we got to work on to build each other up. And this year I want us to see us get not only physically healthy, but spiritually. We have to feed ourselves line by line of this book until it builds our faith. And it builds our faith, and it keeps building our faith up until we can't stand it. We've had so much. I think we can do it. Anybody else? I think we can. So, I had my guests out here early, maybe. There's a Colts game on. Bummer. Oh, I didn't say that. So, I know we all have unsaved loved ones. I know there's things we need, we're looking for 2024. And I know the place where we can find them. We're going to show God's goodness. While he's sitting in heaven, we're his hands and feet. And yeah, he's going to be good to us. But it's up to us. As his children, to follow him. To follow his lead. You guys with me? Praise team can come up. So what I need for you to do in representation of your unsaved loved ones, of things you need to see in your life in 2024, I need you to come to the throne of grace. And we pray together. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, when believing people pray, powerful things happen. That's our suit of armor, prayer. Will you come with me? Let's pray together. Stand in for that unsaved loved one. Bring your petitions before the Lord. You'll never be disappointed. Thank you for listening to me.